By 1924, we had an exceedingly good recording system, and we had made records at both the Columbia and the Victor Talking Machine Company laboratories, demonstration records. They were both interested in licensing. And in 1925, they did. Victor as the orthophonic and Columbia as the I forgot the name. Then Kraft said, if this works so well, how about making a movie and synchronizing it with a movie? And so he started us on that. Well, I warned him at the time that the record probably would only last a year or two, because another group in the laboratory were working on film, recording directly on film. And direct recording on film for a movie has a terrific advantage. And the record, they probably could finish with good quality in about 2 or 3 years. So he wouldn't have very long to use the record. But nevertheless, he went ahead. And they did have about 3 years in which the Warner Brothers continued to use the record. The other companies, about a half a year sooner, started in on the film. Shut them down a minute.
All right.
In the case of using the record synchronized with the film, it was necessary to use a turntable which could be synchronized with the running of the film. There were chances, all kinds of chances of trouble, as did once actually happen. You can get the wrong record on for the film, just as they did in Warner Brothers Theater when one of the opera singers got up to sing and Royce Mack's banjo came out of his mouth. You can get out of synchronism easily because a bad jar will cause your phonograph to jump a groove. And there were all sorts of reasons why film with the sound on the same media that carried the picture was vastly more practical when they got the quality up where it was also comparable, which they did, and that was the reason for this little transition. Hold it a minute. Having gotten a medium for recording both sound and picture, the problem was that of coordinating the sound with the picture, not in time, but to make the sound appear to come from the same place that the noise was obviously being made in the picture. And we developed a method of sound perspective, which is completely usable also on phonograph and radio, single channel phonograph and radio. It does not require stereo to get all of the fore and aft effect. It does require stereo to get sideways positioning. However, we found in the matter of pictures that we were accused at times of putting an extra, on demonstrations, of putting an extra loudspeaker where the source wasn't, because it was very live, coming from a distance. Here was an opening, a door, So they assumed it came out of that room, and they heard it come out of that room. At least they thought they did. That is a, I don't know what you call it, but one of the psychological queernesses of our seeing and coordinating, seeing and hearing. Now I guess I've got to stop again. We're going to have a lot of deleting here. The same problem of coordinating the ever, making the thing sound natural. Of course, with a record only, you do not have anything visual to coordinate it with. But records that sound as though they were made in an auditorium, and you can hear the acoustics of the auditorium as well as the direct sound from the orchestra, are very much more pleasing and easy to listen to. I have watched audiences in the theater. This was in the case of a talking picture. Listen to two shorts. One made the dead way, and one made with this acoustic perspective. And the dead ones were all leaning forward and listening as hard as they could. They were working. And when the other one came on, they just leaned back and enjoyed it. It made a big difference. I don't know how much they kept it up now. Having been blind, I don't go to the movie.